for the best coverage of the Jazz, Utes, and Cougars is right here on The Zone. This is JJ and Alex, presented by G2G Bars on 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
JJ and Alex rolls into the 4 o'clock hour. Thanks for joining us today, wherever you're listening, driving home from school or work. If you're in your office, in your home, we appreciate you listening. As always, we try to give you exactly what you're looking for every day and keep you up to date on the latest in what's happening in the sports world. And we've got a big one here coming your way here momentarily. For an incredible selection on Kia, Subaru, Chevy, Jeep, Dodge, or Ram, visit Doug Smith Dealerships in American Fork and Spanish Fork. Great service starts with know-how, and nobody knows how like Doug.
Hey, Doug.
You're getting it.
See, it was, all right.
You're developing a good audition reel for their new voice man.
I'm still no Alex Curry, nor will I try to be. We are ready for Major League Baseball here in Utah. But it sounds like the Oakland A's were not ready for us. So news broke today that the Oakland A's, let's get people up to speed, as you may remember, they were interested in coming to Utah as a potential temporary home while their stadium in Vegas is built. Well, it turns out they chose another city. The A's didn't want us. They're going to Sacramento instead. Boo-hoo. We'll get into our opinions on this coming up, and we're also going to talk to a member of the media in Sacramento, give us the lowdown on how it all went down and why Sacramento was the choice. Let's get into it. The A's not coming to Utah is the cut.
It's time for the biggest story of the day. This is What Made the Cut with JJ and Alex on 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
As I just mentioned, the Oakland A's have decided to spend the next three seasons in Sacramento while they wait for their permanent home in Las Vegas to be built. To give us some details on how this went down, why Sacramento was the choice, and the decision-making on the Oakland A's side of things, we welcome in Joseph Jarosz. Sorry, I'm blowing your name, Joseph.
That's all right.
Jarosz?
Jarosz.
I am so sorry, Joseph. Joseph Jarosz, okay, of Sactown Sports, 1140 AM. You're the digital lead there, so you've been on top of this story for quite a while. Joseph Jarosz, welcome to the program, Joseph. We appreciate you taking your time to talk to us today. First of all, give us the lowdown on why Sacramento was the choice over other options.
Yeah, like you guys explained, it was Sacramento, Salt Lake threw their name in the hat, and even taking over the AAA stadium in Las Vegas or renewing with the Coliseum in Oakland. It came down to Vivek Ranadive, the owner of the Kings. He also owns the AAA team here in Sacramento, the Sacramento RiverCats. He touted his friendship with John when things fell apart in Oakland. Vivek was explaining today that things moved rather quickly and they were able to get a deal done to, just kind of come up the road a little bit and stay in California for at least 3 years. There's an option for a fourth just in case something with Las Vegas doesn't happen in a timely manner.
You mentioned how quickly this happened. I mean, Oakland had a deal on the table, I guess. They reduced they were asking $97 million. They reduced it by $30 million to extend their lease in Oakland. And it sounded like the A's liked that price, but within 24 hours, the switch flipped and they chose Sacramento. What was it that made that switch flip so quickly, do you think, for the A's just to be like, no, we're done in Oakland?
It sounded like they weren't as close as it may have appeared.
Okay.
The A's president Dave Cabal said that today in one of the scrums after the press conference that the two sides were just too far apart. And that's kind of what broke down for them in Oakland.
How much of a factor was the TV money? We heard about that, and it didn't seem to come up when the A's were visiting Salt Lake City, but that was a pretty important detail. In the end, was that the biggest thing for the A's, was to do whatever they could to keep that, 60 or 70 million in cable revenue?
Yeah, they didn't dive into the details of how much they're keeping with NBC Sports California, but that was a big factor to stay regionally because NBC Sports also has the Kings, and they said today that they're keeping the same markets. They didn't go into the details of how much they'll be getting from the deal, but they'll be in the same markets for the next 3 years with NBC Sports. So it played into a factor.
Okay, so here in Salt Lake, we've got the former ownership group of the Utah Jazz, Larry H. Miller Group, that is, you know, they've been vocal about potentially one day getting an expansion team here to Utah. They were hopeful that maybe the temporary home for the A's would be their another ace up their sleeve, so to speak, to show Major League Baseball, look, we can do this. Well, now Vivek, I can't say his last name, the Kings owner, he's kind of in that same situation where he's saying this is our chance to audition for potentially Major League Baseball. Do you think that that Sacramento can make a strong case for that? Because if that's the case, suddenly Salt Lake has a competitor for an MLB expansion location out in the West.
I think they're going to try as hard as they can. In one of the scrums after the press conference, Vivek Ranadive was saying that there's no guarantee, but he's been in talks with MLB Commissioner Rob Manfred, and the commissioner has expressed creating an expansion team on the West Coast, hoping it lands in California. So I think that's what the Kings owner is banking on, that these next 3 years, possibly 4 years, will show that Sacramento will come out. The capacity for the ballpark is just over 14,000. I'm guessing they will sell out the first year just on, you know, curiosity alone from people in the region. But if that continues the next 2 years after that, I think there's going to be a strong push that he wants a second major league team, a second professional team in Sacramento. He's been in the running in the past for an NHL team, I believe. Or he at least put his name in a bid for one. I can't remember which one. But he said today he wants Sacramento to be a sports town. And this is how it gets to that point, you know, adding a second major franchise.
Last question I had for you was, was in people you talked to, how serious was Salt Lake City and how serious was Utah considered for the A's temporary home?
They didn't dive into specifics. It really sounded like it was Oakland or Sacramento. I'm not sure how serious Utah, Salt Lake was, or how serious Las Vegas was before the ballpark is built. I don't know why they would have wanted to go there and play in a smaller park and then go to a larger park. But it sounded like it was Northern California with the two highest possibilities.
That certainly makes sense with all that TV money. Joseph, thank you so much for your time. We appreciate it. Appreciate you coming on and giving us more insight on how all this deal all went down. We were paying close attention because the prospect of Major League Baseball even temporarily coming here to Utah was thrilling. But we'll have to wait. Hopefully the expansion process favors Utah in the future. Thanks for coming on the show.
No problem, guys. Have a good one.
All right, that's Joseph Tarasch from the Sactown Sports, 1140 AM. He's their digital lead there. A Bonneville company, by the way.
I'll be
our friends in Sacramento.
I'll be paying more attention to the A's than I have in a while now after they moved to
Sacramento. Why?
I want to see how Sacramento does with the A's there. And obviously, I'm not going to be there in person up close, but from a media standpoint, from game, I just want to see how, because I am interested now suddenly with the Kings owner saying, hey, we're auditioning for MLB too. I still think Utah's in a great situation, but there aren't any other markets in the West other than what we've heard from Portland saying, hey, we could be a Major League Baseball franchise or market. Now there's another one popping up, and I don't know if it makes you a little nervous. It makes me a little nervous.
I have no fear of Sacramento's bid to get an expansion franchise ahead of Salt Lake's, number one. Number two, I don't give a crap about the Oakland A's.
Yeah, it's true.
Their owner's a clown. They're a mess. They're a joke. Vegas doesn't even want them. The reason why it was exciting for them to come here to town is because, not because you want to watch the A's, it's because you get to watch the Yankees.
Yep.
You potentially get to watch the Dodgers.
Red
you
Sox.
Get to see Mike Trout and the Angels come here. I mean, that's why it was exciting, is to get Major League Baseball into town for 3 years. And just like Sacramento's going to, get a chance to audition for Major League Baseball. Ultimately, I don't think the audition matters. Mm. What matters is who can build the stadium as soon as possible, who has the ownership as soon as possible, who has a legislative backing as soon as possible. Utah checks all the boxes.
Yep.
Sacramento, okay. I know Oakland had no prayer in getting that money subsidized. It ain't happening in Sacramento either. I promise you that. It's not happening in California. They're already way over on taxes. Nobody's going to support that there. It's different here. We're in a different situation. There's a hunger for more teams here in our population. I don't think that hunger exists in Sacramento. I see Sacramento as no threat to Salt Lake in their bid. LHM released a statement today after the announcement was made. They said, quote, "We want to express our gratitude to Major League Baseball and the Athletics for approaching the Larry H. Miller Company about potentially hosting the Athletics in our new ballpark in downtown Daybreak during their transitionary period. From the beginning, there were economic reasons tied to an existing television contract that favored the Athletics staying in Northern California. We wish the Athletics much success in their home state during this exciting time in their team history. Our proven and ready ownership group and broad-based coalition is fully committed to bringing an MLB expansion team to the Power District on Salt Lake City's west side. We are grateful and encouraged that Utah was viewed as a potential host and solution for the Athletics, and we will continue to demonstrate that we are the ideal MLB expansion market." I don't think anything changes after this announcement today, that Salt Lake City still is that ideal MLB expansion market. And, yeah, Sam, there's going to be others that get involved. And I think Sacramento, obviously, Vivek Ranadive is a very powerful person and has a lot of money and a lot of influence. He would try to be that owner potentially, but where are they building a stadium? How quickly could they build a stadium? I don't think they check all the boxes. I don't think they can't. Utah continues to check all the boxes. I'm not worried.
That's you have put me at ease with the confidence with which you've said all of that. And then just reading that statement, hearing that statement from the Miller Group again, I mean, you know, those are all things that I felt strongly about already, that, yes, the legislative backing is huge because, as we've just seen in with the NHL team in Arizona, right, they don't have the backing that Utah has from the public legislation, you know. And then the ownership group with a shovel-ready site. That's one. I love that about this LHM group. Before they even mentioned, hey, we want a major league franchise to come to Utah, what did they mention? Hey, guess what? We're standing on the site of where we want to bring a major league baseball franchise to Utah. We can turn this ground over, build a stadium as soon as they give us the green light. From the moment LHM group mentioned Major League Baseball, they had a plan, and they've been ready. And they've only gained momentum. And so baseball fans disappointed that the A's aren't coming to Salt Lake, don't worry about it. The A's were never a long-term thing anyway. It was only going to be a quick stay, a little vacation.
We never wanted that garbage here in town anyway.
No.
Get that team out of here.
Yellow and green. Ugh.
Enjoy Sacramento and that 100-degree humid heat you have to deal with. When are they even going to play? The other team's got to play, too. That's going to be a weird situation.
And with the way the PCL does it, where you play Tuesday through Sunday?
Uh-huh.
At home? I don't know.
Not my problem. Yeah. I don't care.
Day games for the River Cats.
Look, and we should have been wise to this from the very beginning. Once the word came out that the A's would lose $60 to $70 million if they didn't play in Northern California, forget about Salt Lake. There was no way they were going to, especially that ownership group that's struggling so badly. They were not going to turn away from $60, $70, $80 million, whatever that TV number is going to be. So is what it is. But you know what? I still think Utah is still in a great position, even better position than they've ever been, to be able to get an MLB expansion team once MLB decides. And then let's turn back to this news that just came down today.
Mm-hmm.
Let's revisit this again. It just came down from Arizona Sports. Our Bonneville friends in Arizona break this report that Arizona Coyotes owner Alex Marullo has spoken to multiple potential buyers who are in the state and outside of it to gauge their interest in purchasing the NHL franchise from him. And that's according to Arizona Sports' John Gambadoro. Marullo reportedly was seeking upward of $1 billion for the franchise that he bought in July 2019. The Coyotes owner had a recent meeting with NHL Commissioner Gary Bettman regarding the team's future. I'm sure that Gary Bettman has had enough. And this pipe dream of this auction land thing working out. Look, if you have to win an auction or basically a land lottery to find a place to build your stadium, you're years out. And that's a pipe dream to begin with. we've already have legislative approval combined with what Ryan Smith brings to the table with sports with Smith Entertainment Group to and you're going to put this team in the Delta Center right now. We're already hosting preseason NHL games, which have been a smashing success.
They have.
It's time, and it makes too much sense. Now, like they said, there could be other buyers. There could be somebody in Arizona with $1 billion that steps up that maybe Marullo wants to talk to, but we already know that Ryan Smith has offered $1 billion for the Arizona franchise. We already know that he's had conversations with Gary Bettman. We already know that everything's lined up in place. We already know that this all has legislative support. We already know that this has the public support of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.
Yeah.
And I've been covering sports here in 20 years. I don't remember the church coming out and publicly supporting an effort like this in downtown related to sports. So that is significant.
Huge.
There's things going on here that we don't know yet about that are going on, and it's pretty clear that the lines, everything aligns perfectly here. And again, I'm not reporting.
Right.
We're reporting what's reported here. I'm speculating.
Yeah.
That the stars are aligning for this to happen and that we will have NHL hockey in Utah in the 2024-25 season.
Amazing. This is going to happen, I think, a lot more quickly than a lot of hockey fans or maybe even Utah sports fans anticipate it happening. You know, Gary Bettman, you mentioned he's got to be tired of it. Yeah, do you remember back in February at the All-Star weekend when he said, you know, I have no reason to not believe that Marullo's got things in order and to contradict my owners. Yeah, yada, yada, yada. I mean, and here we are a couple months later and nothing has changed. In fact, the land auction, from what I understand, can't happen until at least mid-June, but doesn't have to happen until November. There's no way Gary Bettman's waiting that long.
No way.
Guess what? The NHL season ends in 2 weeks.
And what happens in November? You're already into another season playing in a 4,000-seat college arena on the campus of Arizona State University.
NHL season ends in 2 weeks. I bet you within 2 weeks, Bettman wants a solution. I think that it just makes sense.
And if you're Marullo and you're tired of dealing with this headache, yes, you don't want to have to be the – you don't want the criticism and the anger from hockey fans and sports fans in Arizona to be targeted at you. But you have a chance to rid yourself of this problem and make a ton of money and take $1 billion to make this problem go away. And then your problem becomes Utah's gain.
Yeah.
And the situation would be ideal for this to happen. And I think this is exciting. I think it's thrilling. And I think it's moving. It's not guaranteed yet, but it's certainly moving.
That locomotive's picking up speed.
In that direction. We could have NHL hockey in Utah. Next season. So many things to be excited about. And I still am very, very gung-ho on the baseball thing. The news today, it would have been fun. Mm-hmm. I'm not even, like, bothered by it that much. I really do mean that. Like, the A's, I mean, it would have been fun, but you know what? That works out better for them. I don't think this impacts Utah's quest for a expansion franchise in the future. I don't think this gives Sacramento any kind of momentum or edge that's any greater than what Utah's already built and what the Larry H. Miller Company has already done to put this effort well ahead of everyone else's effort across the country.
I think there were sports fans that were maybe a little surprised by it. I mean, I was talking to you off the air. I was talking to someone earlier today whose response to me when I said, no, I'm not shocked, they were just like, oh, huh. They were shocked. They were shocked that this wasn't happening. I'm like, don't worry about it. It wasn't a permanent thing anyway. Utah's still in place here.
No. We good. All right. We will move ahead. We once again will check in with our good friends at Hercules Credit Union. Alec is back in studio, and I'm still thinking about that 3.99% interest rate on the home equity.
It's a great rate. And, you know, our process is quick, and we get you going pretty quick on those projects. So
you mentioned the process. For people that haven't done a home equity loan, talk us through the process, how it works and how quickly they can get that done.
Yeah. So the process starts just like any other loan. So you'll go through the application process. Obviously, we'll pull credit. And then from there, we'll do some various things in the background. So at that point, it's more of a waiting game for you. But typical turnaround time is usually about 2 weeks, which is a lot shorter than what a lot of our other competitors are doing.
So 2 weeks from now, if you have a home and you want to finish your basement, you want to get a new pool, it's almost summertime.
Yep.
We're so right many things corner. You can do. You got all that equity.
Yep.
And you got a 3.99% rate. How are you doing that?
Well, you know, again, it all comes down to just being true to who we are as a credit union and just making sure that we're not overspending on things and that we're being good and frugal with the funds that our members are entrusting to us.
Man, people out there starving for great rates, and you guys are offering it right now. That's such a great deal. Tell us if people want to hear this right now, that's like, wow, home equity, 3.99. Where do I go? Where are Hercules branches right now where they can walk in and get more information on this?
Yeah, so we have branches in Taylorsville, Riverton, and we have one out in Harriman. And then you can also check us out at HerculesCU.com, and we can also help you there as well.
There you go. Go online, become a member through the online process, right?
Yep.
You don't have to live in those areas to be a...
No, we'd like to open our doors to everyone. So if you're looking to get a checking account with no fees and great service, we're here to help you.
That's awesome, Alec. And just 3.99. Is everyone hearing that right now that you're driving right now? 3.99 home equity rate through Hercules Credit Union. That's awesome. Alec, thank you. We're going to do the Hercules Hero of the Week coming up next, and then you'll be back here in 30 more minutes to discuss more about what you guys are doing at Hercules Credit Union and the Hero of the Week. Thanks so much, Alec. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
We'll catch up with you in another half hour. All right, we're going to take another short break on JJ and Alex. Coming up next, we'll talk NFL, we'll talk Utes with Christian Cox after this. JJ and Alex, 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
Accessing.
When TV and radio collide.
Love it.
Wow.
This is what you get. You're listening to JJ and Alex, presented by G2G Bars.
Don't touch that dial.
On 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
JJ and Alex, 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone. Jeremiah Jensen, Sam Farns, we're sitting in for Alex Curie on this Thursday. Halfway through the program.
We're getting there.
We're having fun today.
But it's fun. It's going by too fast.
We just talked about the A's not coming to Utah. They're going to go to Sacramento instead. That word is official for those of you who have not heard. But we also shared with you the news. News broke through our... Bonneville friends down in Arizona that Arizona Coyotes owner Alex Marullo has spoken to multiple potential buyers who are in the state and outside of it. We don't know who those buyers are, but I think we know of one specific buyer here in Utah that has the billion and is very interested. So that is an interesting development. For those of you who want to see NHL to Utah, very, very interesting development coming out of Arizona today. So that looks like good news for us. It is time now. We do this once a week, and it's great. We have our good friends at Hercules Credit Union here in the building today. Alec will join us again here in a moment to tell you about an amazing home equity rate. But right now, I'm going to tell you about our winner this week for the Hercules Hero of the Week. And our winner this week is Jared Bartlame. He is nominated by Nate Bunn. Let's tell you a little bit about Jared. Jared is a selfless coach who has given his community and prep schools an opportunity to improve their game. He has built an indoor practice facility for baseball, equipped with batting cages and more. Wow. He built it out of an old insurance building. He's provided access to local teams to practice out of the elements, while also giving teens a place to hang out, practice ball, and stay out of trouble. How cool is that?
That's awesome.
And you know, here in the state, one of the disadvantages we have when it comes to competing with kids in other states for college scholarships, et cetera, and even minor league and getting drafted, is mm-hmm. the opportunity to develop year-round. Of course, our friends in St. George
right.
don't have to worry about that, but up here in the north, we don't have that luxury. So you need indoor practice facilities, and the more indoor practice facilities we have in northern Utah, the better chance we have of developing baseball talent here among our youth. And if we see Major League Baseball coming to Utah, I think that's going to strengthen things even more. Some say the game of baseball is dying. No way. Baseball's growing, and it would grow here tremendously in the state if Major League Baseball comes to Utah. And so We have great people in our community like Jared Bartlame, who is our Hercules Hero of the Week, who are seeing to it that our young people have a great place to go play baseball. So thank you, Nate Bunn, for the nomination. And again, any of you out there, there's so many.
Yeah.
So many great people in the community, wherever you live, that are running youth sports, or maybe it's a coach at a high school or a middle school or wherever it might be. There's referees out there that are working every day. You've got Little League football, different organizations throughout the state. There's referees out there every weekend that are getting berated by parents.
Yeah, no kidding.
And for little to no money, and like they're we can't have these activities without you. So we want to nominate you, and Jared will get a gift certificate or a credit card. A gift card, a Visa gift card worth $50. So Jared, enjoy that, and thank you for all that you do. All right, Sam. Utah football, spring football continues up on the hill. Got some bad news the last couple of days about Lavonnie DeMooney. That stinks. But everything else seems to be really, really positive. And when you're having a quiet spring, that's a good thing.
Yeah, right?
We don't have a lot of questions about this team. The biggest question mark is who's going to be the backup quarterback?
Right.
That's a pretty good problem. Although that's something you really need to solidify. That's got to be something that you have an answer for. Just ask the Utes from last year how important your backup quarterback is and your quarterback depth. But, Sam, I think it's really interesting that things are really quiet up on the hill as they power through a spring, and it's business as usual.
And you mentioned it's a good thing, right? At spring football, the stories that come out of spring football are usually – X player just got hurt, and unfortunately, Lavonnie DeMooney. That's one of the stories, right? Certain player got hurt. Will they be ready in time for fall, or their season done for? And then if there's a big, it's usually a quarterback battle, and usually in the spring, you're not going to determine who that winner is anyway. You know, there's a quarterback battle in Provo. They announced that it's going to continue until the fall anyway. It makes sense. So those are the things. When it's quiet, especially in a Coach Kyle Whittingham team, when things are quiet up on the hill, that's when you start to get maybe that itch. It's like, oh, what's happening up there? What's going to go on this fall?
Everything's going really well. Yeah, knock on wood here.
Yeah, things are going well. So yeah. I'm excited because there's certainly every year Coach Witt and his staff have proven to be able to turn around talent. Whenever players have left, you've always wondered, okay, who's going to fill in for that spot? There's been someone. They've always had a talented player to step in. And I have no reason to doubt that won't be the case this fall again. Spring football, it is what it is. It's practices. You're starting to get into the playbook a little bit. You're just starting to shake some of that rust off. But it's a part of the process, and we're not too far off from fall camp either. It's a couple more months.
So I've done this exercise with Alex Keery on the show, and I want to do it with you because you and I haven't sat down and just looked at Utah's schedule in 2024.
Okay, yeah.
So I want to give you the chance to go through and share with us what you think the Utes can do next year in 2024. How many wins? What are some of the potential roadblocks that would prevent them from winning the Big 12 or at least getting to that Big 12 championship game? I'll rip through the schedule here. I've got it in front of me. It starts on Thursday, August 29th against Southern Utah, your annual FCS game. I think Southern Utah is an up-and-coming FCS program.
It's a game where
but
Cam Rising plays maybe a half, and then you sit him down, right?
That's usually how the plan goes with there. No disrespect to the Thunderbirds, who should have a great FCS season, but we all know what that's about. Saturday, September 7th gets interesting. You're at home against Baylor. And again, we remind everybody, you're playing Baylor, who's in the Big 12, but it is not a Big 12 game, similar to what Arizona's doing. Arizona plays Kansas State early in September. That is not a conference game, even though it's a very important conference matchup between two contenders in the Big 12. It will not count in the Big 12 standings. So that Baylor game, how do you feel about Baylor right now?
Well, that's it's a great early measuring stick. You know, we use that term a lot. Of course, it will help them. I think what we learn from that Baylor game is you get an early idea of, okay, how can Utah stack up in the Big 12 conference, even though it doesn't count towards a Big 12 record, as mentioned. We can still get that idea. So that's a great test. And it's at home. Rice-Eccles Stadium. It's going to be packed. It's going to be rocking. Baylor's coming back to Utah. This time they get to come up to Salt Lake instead of Provo, experience the atmosphere up there, which is going to be hostile. It's look, this is where we really find out. And clearly there's a whole schedule ahead, but this is where you really start to find out, is Utah really that team, you know, that perennial Pac-12 contender? Does that carry over to a Big 12 schedule and opponents?
Absolutely. I think that Utah is going to kick Baylor's teeth in, because I think that they were embarrassed by the way they performed in Waco last year. That game should not have been close, and it was obvious. Obviously, the quarterback play was horrific in that game. Nate Johnson saved the day in the end, but that was an atrocious performance. Baylor was not good last year. Utah should have killed them. You move on. Utah State and Logan. And then after that, you get into Big 12 play, and this is where I want to get your opinions. Right out of the gate, Oklahoma State. That is a game. Me and Sly talked about it. There was an article put out by Athlon Sports. I think they tried to rank the top 15 Big 12 conference games this year.
Mm-hmm.
Guess what was number one?
Was it this
Utah
one?
Utah at Oklahoma State on September 21st. This is a big deal, Sam, because it's big for both teams. If Utah goes to Oklahoma State and lays an egg, you start to question this team whether they're a contender or not, because then you still have to play Arizona, and you're already behind the eight ball. Oklahoma State's already got a win on you. You don't play Kansas State, so you don't get a chance at them. It would put Utah way behind in the conference race, and they would be playing catch-up the rest of the conference season. You win at Oklahoma State, you've already beat a contender. And based on the results of that on the road, it would be a really good way to judge them. You talked about judging them based on Baylor. You really learn who the Utes are on September 21st, and it's all about that game. That game will define their season and the direction it goes. Same for Oklahoma State. If Oklahoma State loses that game, I think they play Kansas State the next week. I mean, Oklahoma State could be out of the race by October if they don't win those two games. So a lot of pressure is going to be on both of those teams. That's going to be a massive, massive game in late September.
And that's the great thing about Power 5 football, Big 12 football, and you know, BYU's just starting to get reacquainted with that, obviously, that early conference games can determine whether you're a contender or not. I think one thing Utah's got on their side is that they're used to that. And they've had slow starts in the past, and yet they've still emerged and become conference champions and gone to the Rose Bowl, you know. But, again, this is a road one at Oklahoma State. I agree with you. This is one of those games that you're taking that first step forward as a contender, as claiming that stance as, okay, conference title is going to have to go through us. And the schedule, I'm already glancing ahead. I shouldn't be. I should be letting you guide that.
No, move ahead to Arizona.
But,
go ahead.
But you look at that game that's the very next week. And if you have a hiccup on the road at Oklahoma State, it's not getting easier. Arizona's coming to town, and they surprisingly, you know, they retained a lot of talent when I thought there's no way. Coach is gone. Quarterback's going to follow. A lot of this roster's leaving. No, they stuck around.
No, their stars are back. Coach Brennan is really not that big of a drop-off. The guy won a Mountain West championship at San Jose State. San Jose State, not San Diego State.
Right.
San Jose State. He pulled off a miracle. He's not going to have any trouble winning at Arizona, at least I wouldn't think. Although Arizona traditionally has had trouble being consistent, we'll see how they do next season, trying to back up what they did last year. But that game, that's a monster clash at Rice-Eccles Stadium. You give Utah the edge because they're at home. But how much better will Noah Fifita be this season? That's going to be the key. Can Noah Fifita follow up his freshman season with a sophomore campaign that matches or exceeds? We'll wait and see. At Arizona State, you figure that's a W. TCU, I don't know what to make of TCU.
Right.
We're talking about all these teams in the Big 12, and we're talking about Utah and Arizona and Oklahoma State and Kansas State. Kansas, I've even seen West Virginia thrown out there, and Iowa State. We'll talk to the play-by-play voice of the Cyclones tomorrow here on 97.5 the KSL Sports Zone as we continue our tour around the Big 12. But no one's talking about TCU. They were in the national championship 2 years ago. That program has talent in it. Should we be worried about TCU on October 19th?
Well, what I remember about TCU was that game that I had the privilege of attending last year when BYU went down there and just got run out of Fort Worth.
Kind of my point is that right? Team has dudes.
And the deal with that game, the thing that really stands out to me about that game is that who was it that was leading that TCU team and running BYU out of town? It was one of their backup quarterbacks, right?
Yeah.
Freshman. Hoover, right?
Yep.
And he goes out there and just looks like an all-conference quarterback. So it's kind of like, okay, is that just the product of that one game? You know, what is TCU? That is a big question. That is a mystery. One of the mysteries of the Big 12 conference this year, because they were in the national championship 2 years ago. And then last year, when you kind of thought they were going to be right there again, they had that season opener with Colorado that was like, oh, maybe TCU's frauds here. Maybe Colorado's the real deal. And then Colorado's season didn't go so great, which kind of, I think, made us doubt TCU even more. So that's one of those mysteries. But TCU in Salt Lake City just feels like that game is set up for Utah to come out on the win.
All right, on the road to Houston, they should win that. BYU, November 9th, at home.
I mean, if
I put a gun to your head right now, who are you picking?
I'm picking Utah.
Okay,
Utah at home. They lost the last one. It's been a couple years since they've played. It's conference game again. I know it's going to be super hype. I can't wait for that game, but it just feels like Utah's game to win or lose.
We got to blast through the last three. At Colorado, does Coach Prime get him, or does Utah come away with that one?
Utah's going to win that one. I still just don't believe in what Colorado's got.
Iowa State at home.
That's a big one.
Cyclones are good.
The conference championship could come down to that game.
Yep.
I'll say Utah, though, because it is a home game.
UCF on Thanksgiving weekend.
I think that's a Utah win, too. UCF on the road. Look, UCF is making strides, but I think Utah's a top two team in this conference.
Which game are they? What's your record here? You got them losing any?
Record? I think they're going to lose either Oklahoma State or Arizona. I think when it comes to conference play, I think it's one of those early ones where, again, we see Utah rebound and surge at the end of the year, and they're suddenly in the conference title picture.
So one loss probably gets you in the conference championship game, and we all know what happens there. If they win that, you go to the college football playoff. All right, Sam Farnsworth says 11-1.
Yeah.
You're on the record, 11-1.
I'll take that right now.
Okay.
Ask me again in July.
We got another power poll coming up on KSLSports.com run by Mitch Harper, so we got to recalibrate and look ahead. All right, when we come back, we're going to hear from Utah Spring Football. They've got a camp update coming up next on 97.5 the KSL Sports Zone.
And now your Ute Spring Football update on 97.5 the KSL Sports Zone.
You know, when that dramatic music is playing, it's time for a spring football update.
Hey,
let's go to the hill. What's going on up with the Utes? Let's find out. We got some audio cuts to play for you, so you get to know what's going on up there. We got Landon King, tight end, who had a breakout year last year for the Utes. He talks about the confidence the team has with Cam Rising at QB1.
It's a whole lot different, you know, like the whole team has confidence, you know, there's no like who's going to go out and play quarterback now, like we know we got our guy, and, you know, he's commanding the offense like he's that guy for real. So, I mean, it's just strides from last year, and I'm just happy to be in this position.
You can see that word keeps coming up.
So. Yeah.
Confidence.
Yes.
There's a different confidence up there this year knowing that Cam's back.
Every time I hear that, Cam Rising, confidence, those two that go together, it takes me right back every time to that San Diego State game, against San Diego State in L.A.
Yeah.
In 2021 when Rising came in and took over for Charlie Brewer. You just saw it. There was an immediate like injection of energy, a spark in the huddle, in that team, in that offense with Cam out there. He brought it with him off the bench, brought it with him into the huddle, into the game. Everyone, for whatever reason, it's the way he plays, it's the way he acts, it's the way he interacts with teammates, all of that, people just buy in to Cam Rising. Whatever he's selling, they're taking, and they're on board.
I still can't believe Charlie Brewer quarterbacked those games in the first place. Unbelievable.
That's bonkers, yeah.
All right, well, you got Cam Rising at quarterback. Everybody's confident, but what would make everybody more confident is knowing you got a guy behind the guy. They need to have a backup quarterback, and Kyle Whittingham gives us the latest on that backup quarterback battle.
The heat as it could be right now, but they're both getting better. That's the key. They're both moving forward, and we feel good about both of them. I'm pretty sure that this competition will carry into fall camp, and so don't expect anybody named after spring ball unless there's a great disparity in these last five practices.
Yeah, no rush on that. I mean, you just want to know that you got guys that are getting better and that there's a heated battle there. That means that, you know, you're getting better. You're getting you're getting what you need out of that position at that backup quarterback spot, and let it play out. throughout the, throughout camp.
Yeah, you got to have someone who's capable and confident for that role. You know, and I, one thing I love about sports and being a sports fan and just talking sports is you can always play the what-if game. What if Brandon Rose never got hurt in fall camp last year? Was it fall or spring? I can't remember. What if he never got hurt?
Yeah.
And missed the time so that when Cam Rising went down, what if Brandon Rose had almost a whole season under his belt? And who knows, what if it was a successful season, where we'd be right now today? You know, obviously we can't play that game, but it just leads me to kind of believe more when it comes to this backup quarterback battle.
Yeah.
Brandon Rose is supposed to be a stud. Coach Witt loved him last year, and the fact that a true freshman, Isaac Wilson, is pushing him for that, what does that say about Isaac?
Isaac Wilson's a stud.
Yeah.
I know that with my own eyes. So he was unbelievable at Corner Canyon last year, and so looks like he's having no problem transitioning to the college game in spring football. One last hit. Well, let's hear what Kyle Whittingham has to say after 10 spring practices in the books.
Well, first of all, we've progressed every single practice, 10 down, 5 to go. Really good scrimmage. I think that's the most encouraging thing is how we looked in the scrimmage on Saturday. A lot of really good execution by the offense. Clean, very few penalties. Ball security was good. Defense tackled well. Made plays on both sides of the ball, so that was an outstanding scrimmage that we had.
So all is good on the hill with Utah and Utah spring football. The Utes looking strong and things going smoothly as they get ready for the 2024 season. Things also looking great at Hercules Credit Union. Alex, back in the studio. And you know things are great when you're offering a 3.99% interest rate on a home equity loan.
Yeah.
You guys are crazy.
Well, you know, like I said, we like to make it count. So
I love it. It's crazy good. Crazy good. And if you're listening on the road, yeah, I said 3.99%. So, you know, I think everybody knows how bad rates are with home mortgages and everything going on. And people are kind of, I don't want to say stuck in their homes, but no one's crazy enough right now to just, you know, move around a lot. They want to keep their rate, what they have, and there's not a lot of flexibility. But what everybody does have right now is equity, and everybody wants to use some of that equity right now. And you guys make it really easy with a 3.99% interest rate.
Yeah, I mean, you know, and it's a great rate to take advantage for not just home improvement projects, but if you're looking to consolidate debt, that's going to be a huge one, save you lots and lots of money.
Yeah, 3.99% is a lot better than that 23% interest rate on your credit card.
Yep, that's true.
So take advantage of that. If someone is looking and they want to get more information or they want to go get the process started, where are your branches located? Where can they go do that?
Yeah, so we're in Taylorsville, Harriman, and Riverton. And you can always check us out online as well at HerculesCU.com. And you're always welcome to give us a call as well.
There you go. You can do it online. You can just join the credit union online and get it going. Again, I'm not joking. That's a 3.99% interest rate on a home equity loan through Hercules Credit Union. If you're driving around right now or wherever you're home at work, go take advantage of that. Hercules Credit Union offering 3.99% for 6 months on a home equity loan. Alec, thank you.
Thank you.
We'll be back here in 30 minutes. And we'll be back after this break. JJ and Alex, 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.